Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome, everybody. Another edition of Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. We have a most interesting show tonight, and we'll tell you more about it in just a second. But if you're driving from Fort Lauderdale to Fort Pierce, the show is especially for you because we're going to talk about driving tonight. But if you're in one of the storms that are floating around, please be careful. We want you to come back each and every week, and we're glad that you're here tonight. So let me ask you, what do driving and dementia have to do with each other? Is there a connection or any early indicators that driving might warn us of? Would you like to help find the answer to those and other questions by participating in an incredible research study that we're talking about? We have one right in our own backyard, and my guest tonight is going to tell us all about it. Dr. Kelly Jackson of FAU is here, and she is conducting just such a research drive. Well, it's not just her. There's a whole bunch of people, but she's here tonight to tell us about it, and I'm going to tell you more about Kelly Jackson in just a minute. But first, I know I've been saying this a lot lately. COVID's still real, gang. I know a bunch of people who have gotten sick lately. Long COVID's still out there. I encourage you, please, do what you can to protect yourself, particularly my audience is the most vulnerable. If you haven't been vaccinated, get vaccinated. If you have been vaccinated, still be careful. We don't want you to be a shut-in, but we want you to come back each and every week. Also, I know I mentioned the weather, but the weather up here on the Treasure Coast in particular is bad. So, it's been hot, it's been raining. Don't take it for granted, gang. Be careful. And then next week is going to be my 12th anniversary on Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. And since the area from Boca to Fort Lauderdale is new, you haven't had the pleasure or displeasure, depending on your thoughts, of listening to me for the last 12 years. But for those of you on the Treasure Coast and in Palm Beach County who have, I appreciate all the support you've given me. But let's get to what we're talking about tonight and to who we're talking to. Kelly Jackson has her PhD. And she's a family nurse practitioner. She's a proud nurse doctor, doctor nurse. We talked about it before. She's a doctoral prepared nurse researcher and board certified family nurse practitioner. She currently serves as the research study recruiter for Florida Atlantic University. She's held positions in cardiology, pulmonology, cosmetic surgery, corporate wellness. She's held several leadership roles, including clinical science consultant, clinical director, scientific studies manager. In addition, she led a national team of field-based nurses during the COVID-19 pandemic, whose mission was to ensure clinical quality standards and that they were upheld at over 100 testing and vaccine administration sites. She serves as secretary for the South Florida Michigan State Alumni Board. She is a general board member for Habitat of Humanity of Broward County. She's a long-standing member of the South Florida American Heart Association's Circle of Red, and she's an active member of the South Florida Advanced Practice Nurse Network and is an active elder at her church. She enjoys training for marathons, which always impresses me, and has served as Fort Lauderdale chapter lead for Medals for Metal for over 10 years, delivering donated earned marathon medals to patients and their families at Joe DiMaggio's Children's Hospital, who expressed their own metal, M-E-T-T-L-E, as they face difficult diagnosis, treatments, and surgery. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Good. So why don't we just start right at the top? What do driving and dementia have in common, and tell us about this project?
I would be happy to. So what this research project is focusing on is really finding changes in cognition early versus later and using driving as a modality to detect those changes. So in partnership with memory testing and some equipment that we install in the vehicles, we're going to look for a connection between those two. If somebody were to start to have changes in their cognition early, does that show up in their driving habits? And that's what these in-vehicle sensors will show us.
Is there a sense that they do? Is that why this is there? Is there a sense that this is kind of a canary in the coal mine early warning system? Is that what prompted the development of this project?
Yes. There was actually the National Institutes on Aging has funded this research project. So we have a $5 million grant from the NIA. And basically the call for these proposals stem from some research that's already been done, but on smaller scales, pilot studies and studies of that nature. So this really prompted the call for, hey, we're onto something here. Maybe these sensors are the key to this early detection.
Right. And I want to drill down to the specifics, but you told me before, and it's just kismet, I guess. You told me that this is a very special time of year for you. Your dad's birthday was yesterday. You made me feel really old because you told me he's the same age I am. But you also told me it's your husband's birthday, and you all celebrate together, and somebody else's birthday in the family. So you're all together, and you asked your dad what was his best birthday, and he said it was 16 because he got his driver's license.
Right.
I didn't want to steal your thunder.
No,
but,
no.
But that's so important because driving is really so important to us. It is the first moment of freedom, total freedom that we get as we grow up, as we become teenagers. So tell me specifically what we might see in driving that we think might be an early warning sign, and then allay the fears of entering a project like this where people might think, uh-oh, they're going to take my car away.
Oh, gosh, yes. A lot to talk about there, Scott. So first of all, yes, my dad turned 73 yesterday, and having his driver's license when he turned 16 is really our badge of freedom, really, and independence. So it really speaks to the importance of being mindful of having the ability to drive and drive well. Right?
Right.
So with this study, we're really trying to find out if this can help detect those early changes through driving habits, as you ask, such as maybe driving less frequently. Maybe through these sensors, we find that if there are some changes in memory over time, and again, we're looking at both. So what this research project is going to do, we're looking at that baseline. We're establishing that foundation of that cognitive function and the driving habits. And then over time, if there are changes in memory, are there changes in driving habits? Less frequent driving, maybe driving less at night. Over time, maybe hitting the brakes a little bit harder, or maybe accelerating more, you know, faster. So things of those nature is what we're looking at when we talk about the driving habits.
Right.
So we're not looking to take anybody's driver's license away, which is a very common question that I receive when I'm out in the communities talking about this project. That's not the intention of what we're doing here. We're just trying to gather the data. That's how things change, and that's how science progresses. It's through the data and the research that we do. So if you're out driving, which 80% of adults over 65 are driving, we just want to collect the data.
Right. So,
yep.
So is it anonymous? I'm going to drill down on the specifics.
Yeah.
So is it completely anonymous?
Completely confidential.
Okay. And this is a research project funded, as you said, by
The National Institutes on Aging. Correct.
Right. But it's where is this?
So we're conducting this research project in two locations currently. One at our main campus, Florida Atlantic University's main campus is located in Boca Raton, Florida. And then we also have a satellite campus in Davie, Florida. So currently those are our two locations. However, we are open to going offsite if we have groups that are large enough that we can accommodate. Our traveling team can come out and meet with you. So,
your mission is to recruit participants, right?
Correct.
That's why we're doing this tonight. We're
yep.
going to tell everybody how they can find out more information and whether this is for them. Tell me about the perfect participant. Who are you looking for?
We are looking for anybody that's 65 or older. That has a valid driver's license and either lease or own their own vehicle and living in the South Florida area, because it will require frequent visits to our campus.
So how often?
But we do have snowbirds. So we do have snowbirds that are in this project,
too.
Oh,
that's interesting.
So, yes. But for the most part, I mean, it would be very difficult, I would say, if you lived in California and you wanted to participate. Unless you were coming to the South Florida area, you know, every 3 months with your own car.
So on the snowbird side, do you suspend for that period of time, or do they take their car back and continue?
They continue, and then we are really, the team is really great, and I have to applaud the research team. Like you said, Scott, it's not just me. It's a whole team that work on this study and put this together and make this possible. We really are flexible to schedules, and we understand, you know, people go away, they travel. Some people go up north for a couple months every year. So the goal of the parameters of the protocol of the study look at every 3 months, making that visit with us every 3 months. But we can be flexible. If we have to go out another extra month or, you know, something happens with the schedule, life happens. And, you know, we'll do our best to accommodate.
And so you briefly mentioned, how long is this going to... Am I committing to, if I were to do this, what is the commitment? Tell everybody what's involved if they're thinking that this is something that they might want to get involved in.
Well, if you have time, we'll meet with you once every 3 months for 3 years.
Okay.
So it's a 3-year commitment, but we understand things happen. If you have to drop out of the study, something happens, that's fine too. It's completely voluntary, your participation.
So the question is, you're looking to find out, just to recap, whether there's a connection between driving and dementia, or is it early warning, is one precede the other, or vice versa? So you're not looking for people who have already been diagnosed with dementia, are you?
We are not. We're looking for those active adults over 65 that are out there in the communities.
And what if they're kind of the worried well?
Mild cognitive impairment. We do have some participants that have.
Oh, really?
We do. But we're not looking for the candidate that already is advanced with the Alzheimer's, the dementia's type. We're looking to find it early. So that's the whole premise of what we're trying to do here. It's that early indicator. So we're looking for these sensors to be that warning sign, raise the hand. As a cardiac nurse, I like to kind of use an example. It's kind of like a blood pressure cuff. You know, you have the blood pressure cuff to check. You're monitoring your blood pressure. Just because it's high one day, that doesn't mean that necessarily you're having the heart attack right now, for example. So the same kind of concept with these sensors. They're in the car, they're tracking your changes over time. So if at the end of this project we find that we have a link and we have something here, it's something to say, hey, maybe it's time to go see your doctor, you know, or your provider.
So I was going to ask that. So
yeah.
So if you do find something, then even though this is anonymous, or confidential, you would tell somebody that it's time to go get checked out, or to go get tested. Because you're not... This isn't followed with a treatment research. This is just to find the correlation potentially between driving and dementia.
Absolutely.
Right.
Between early changes in cognition and driving habits. So driving is such a complex behavior. It requires us to think and judge, and it's the whole spatial connection, and you have to bring all of that together, what we call the executive functioning.
Right.
And driving is one of those behaviors where if we can find that there's changes happening early with that, then maybe then it is time to what treatment's available. You know, 2-3 years from now, we could have a lot more options than we do. But the key is prevention, and the key is being aware and having that early detection. And that's what we're trying to do with these sensors.
And so tell us, I mean, we've mentioned the sensors 3 or 4 times, but you haven't really explained them because I haven't asked you. What kind of sensors are we putting in people's cars? I mean, is this like the Progressive Insurance? We're going to find out if you're a safe driver and going to get a discount on my insurance, or is this something entirely different?
So, great question. So the sensors, and they were actually developed, this project is truly interdisciplinary. And when I say that because the sensors were developed by engineers at the college at Florida Atlantic University. And the sensors, 2 parts. One is a box that goes underneath the driver's seat. The other is a box that goes under the passenger seat. So you don't see them. So they get installed under the seats, and they're completely, you can't see them at all. I watched an installation a few weeks ago, and I was amazed at how you couldn't, there's nothing to see. Those sensors are where the data is collected. So when you come in for your three-month visit, that data is then downloaded, and then we have that for analysis at a later time. So that's another thing I'd like to just touch on. With the sensors in the car, we're not tracking our participants live. There's no audio, so we can't hear anything that's being said in the car. So if anyone lives in South Florida, which I think our audience here is, any road rage or any frustrations you might have as you're driving, we don't pick up any of that. So it's purely just collecting the data. When you drive, you get in the car, you go, we're collecting that data. There's two cameras that are also part of this as well. There's this, and these are meant to be unobtrusive, so they're not meant to be distracting at all. There's a small camera that goes in the lower left-hand corner of the windshield, and that's to identify who you are, who's driving the vehicle. We have some participants in the study that are husband-wife, and they share a car. So we want to make sure that when whoever is the participant that's driving, we're gathering their information. And then there's another camera that goes on the other side of the rearview mirror, and that's forward-facing. And that's real important for weather, as we know how we have weather in South Florida. It's really important to be able to capture that data as well. So it's really an all-inclusive system of what's going on with your driving, not only behavior, but the environment and your surroundings.
And we have to reiterate that we're not sharing this with either law enforcement, motor vehicles,
correct,
insurance companies, or your physician. It's up to you to share it if you want to, but not there. If you're just tuning in, of course, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. I'm here tonight with nurse doctor, doctor nurse, Kelly Jackson from Florida Atlantic University, FAU. We're talking about a really interesting research project being conducted at FAU to identify potential early warning signs between driving habits and dementia. It's a fascinating study. We're going to tell you how you can enroll. We're going to talk about something that I know Kelly is very interested in. We'll talk about the four pillars of brain health and how it connects to this. So if you have questions for Dr. Jackson, for Kelly, or for myself, you can call us 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys are proud to be a family-owned and operated business.
That's right, Mike. It's myself and my husband, Tino, my sister, Melissa, and her husband, Joe, and my parents, Irene and Scott Greenberg. As you can tell by six family members being able to work together, family is extremely important to us. Our clients often have kids that live out of state or even overseas, and those extended family members want to have the comfort of being able to contact a family member at any time to follow up on how mom or dad is doing. While you are able to reach a family member at any time, our office staff is truly part of our extended family. They monitor the phones 24/7 in case of an emergency and are empowered to make decisions that are in the best interest of the client, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or visit our website at palmbeach.comfortcare.com. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Eldercare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with healthcare challenges.
As a patient advocate, Eldercare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make Eldercare 360 part of your team. Eldercare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
You might know that one out of four adults over 65 fall and end up in the emergency room each year. What hits even closer to home is that one in 10 adults over 65 fall every hour of every day in Palm Beach County. Hi, I'm Dan Lagani, the CEO and co-founder of Silver Solutions, the on-demand safe living and home solutions company. At Silver Solutions, our mission is to help make your future look different. For over a decade, we've been working with families like yours to eliminate home safety risks so that you or mom can safely age in place. And when it's time to downsize or ready a family home for sale after a loss, Silver Solutions specialists will also help and do the work for you. To find out more, call now to schedule a free home assessment at 1-877-AGE-SAFE. That's 1-877-AGE-SAFE. Or visit us online now at silversolutions.com. Silver Solutions, we make growing older safer and easier for the whole family.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're glad that you're spending some of your Monday evening with us. You won't be disappointed if you're tuned in late because we're talking to Kelly Jackson. She is a doctoral prepared nurse research and board certified family nurse practitioner. Who is bringing to us tonight a really fascinating research project at Florida Atlantic University, both in the Davie campus, but more importantly on the Boca campus. And she is doing a study that is trying to identify links between driving and dementia. It's a fascinating study. We're going to tell you how, if you have interest, you can get involved. And we'll tell you, you know, whether there's any compensation, what's involved. We'll repeat all the specifics later in the show. But I know, Kelly, one of the things that's important to you that we talked about, it was the first thing you said to me when we were doing preparing for the show, was that this has real interests to you because you believe in four pillars of brain health, and you think this captures some of those. So talk to us about the four pillars of brain health.
Sure. So it's always in my whole nursing career, I've really focused on or really put a lot of passion behind prevention. So when we talk about brain health and I'm out in the community talking about this project, I like to give people something to take away. What can I do? So what can I do? We're always told so many things that we can't do or we can't control. So four pillars of brain health, really focusing on how can I maintain my brain health as I age, really. First and foremost, physical exercise. And I get the question all the time, well, what's the best one? What's the best exercise? Just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Well, the best exercise is, Scott, do you know?
Well, it's funny. I just read an article about an hour before I got here that said that there's new thoughts about how to lower your blood pressure, what exercise is best. But most of us think it's aerobics, that it's walking, or that it's staying engaged. I know a lot of people think staying engaged is there. So the answer to your question, I have no idea what the best one is. So go ahead.
Best one is the one that you will do.
Oh, okay.
And the one that you will do consistently.
Right.
So whatever you like to do, and just be mindful and make it a habit. The brain, the heart-brain connection is so powerful. Our blood, the 25% of the blood that our heart pumps out, circulating through the body, goes to the brain. Right. So it's really important to focus on that physical connection. The second pillar is nutrition, another personal and professional passion of mine. When we talk about brain health, there's certain nutrients that the research has showed that really help to feed a healthy brain. And those include your fatty acids, so your oily fishes. Salmon's one of my favorites, but you have your sardines, and the options are endless, really, but being mindful of the fatty acids. Other nutrients that are extremely just so powerful for the brain, vitamin E. So you can get vitamin E through your grains, your nuts, your seeds, vitamin B6, B12, folic acid. Eggs are a powerhouse. It has all three of those packed within that wonderful little egg. Then we have our monounsaturated fats. So avocados are a good example of the MUFAs. You may have heard of them called MUFAs, monounsaturated fats. And then also your cruciferous vegetables. So your broccoli, your cauliflower. So really focusing on feeding your brain what nutrients your brain is just going to soak up like a sponge. And then antioxidants, berries, are wonderful sources of nutrients for brain health. The third is brain fitness. So brain fitness is just like physical exercise. You have to exercise your brain just like you exercise your muscles. So when you think of brain fitness, think of things like crossword puzzles. Think of things like memory games, learning a new language. We can actually rewire our brain. Your brain is not the same today as it was yesterday. So being mindful of those brain exercises. If you do crossword puzzles, time yourself on the words. Give yourself 30 seconds, move on. And, you know, play that game with yourself. Use your non-dominant hand. If you're a pickleball player or a tennis player or a racquetball player, use the other hand. Brush your teeth with your non-dominant hand. Do things that really cause the brain to think. It's those connections that we're making between the brain cells that really help to stimulate our brain health. And then lastly is social connection. I can't say how important it is to stay engaged socially. So do things that you like to do with friends, family, whether that's, and you can even, I love to multitask. So find a friend, take a walk, talk, you're connecting socially, you're getting some physical exercise. Get some brain fitness in there, share a riddle or two with one another, and do that on a consistent basis. So those are the things that you can do.
And you can enroll in a research study.
and you can enroll in the research study. And in the meantime, you can work on the other four pillars.
That's great. We're going to talk more about that. If you're just tuning in, Scott Greenberg, oh my God, I'm getting older, so is my mom. Dr. Kelly Jackson is here from FAU. She is a doctoral prepared nurse researcher and board certified family nurse practitioner. She has her PhD, that's the doctoral prepared nurse researcher, and she is bringing to us a really fascinating study on the correlation between driving and dementia and maybe an early indicator. She's conducting this research study, which we're going to talk more about as soon as we come back. If you have questions for Kelly or for myself, call us 877-960-9960. It's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Tino from Comfort Care Senior Services. Tino, you train all of your caregivers on how to deal with those who are struggling with Alzheimer's disease, right?
I do, Mike. This disease process is frightening for everyone, and change is the scariest thing for most people. Where we should start is changing the way we think. People are not dying from Alzheimer's disease. They are living with it, and we have to figure out a way for them to keep on living their best life possible. I always say activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities is what gives people a life worth living. Properly training caregivers on all sorts of dementia is very important. Learning about behavior modification techniques, avoiding triggers, tapping into the abilities that are preserved the longest with people with dementia, and figuring out what's important to them are all vital tools caregivers need to understand. Remember, it's about the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620 or visit us on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys really look at every client differently.
Activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities give people a life worth living. That's why at Comfort Care, we complete a social history for our clients. It taps into one's life story to help caregivers know more about who this person was and, quite frankly, still is. It asks questions like, what did you do for a living? What volunteer work did you do? What was your favorite book or movie? Were you in the military? And the list goes on. Understanding background like this is helpful in creating meaningful activities. For example, if someone was a cartographer in the Army, perhaps a trip to the library to look at old maps of where they were stationed might be an interesting activity. If someone were an avid golfer, perhaps a makeshift putting green might be a fun outing. We couple that with a day in the life, which asks more of the daily routine questions, so a caregiver coming in is already familiar with the schedule. It makes the adjustment to having a caregiver that much easier. Caregivers want to help their clients live their best life possible. Being armed with the right information can help, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines your quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Scott Greenberg. I'm laughing because we're having a lot of fun during the break here today, talking about why I might be a very bad enrollee.
Oh, no. I don't think so. I think you're perfect.
We're here to talk about today, which brings me back to why we're here. I'm here today with Dr. Kelly Jackson. Kelly is the lead outreach coordinator. I don't know if that's the proper terminology. On a fascinating research program trying to get to the bottom of whether there is an early connection between driving habits and dementia, whether it's an early warning sign. And they are enrolling, and that's why she's here tonight, because she wants you to enroll in this program if you're over 65. And we're going to tell you how to do that in just a second. But this is at FAU. One of the things that we were laughing about is that, you know, they're putting devices in the car, Kelly, right? You're putting devices in the car.
Yep.
And instantly my thought was, I don't want anybody to see when I get angry at the person next to me. I don't want anybody to see me speeding. I don't want anybody to see me texting at the red light when I'm not supposed to be. Do I want anybody knowing how I drive? And that's not what this is about, right?
So
we need to reinforce that for the audience, and then
Good
we'll idea. Tell them why they should call and enroll.
Right. No, and I do get those questions when I'm out in the community talking about the project. And again, we're not out to evaluate your driving. That's not what we're here to do. You're coming to us with a valid driver's license, and we're going to take that for what that is. So we're not out there to do that. This study is protected. It protects our participants with something that's called a certificate of confidentiality that's actually put out by the National Institutes of Health that protects research participants from things like you were saying. We are not, we cannot disclose information to your insurance company. You're protected under this certificate of confidentiality. So the participants that are in the study can feel comfortable knowing that that's not what we're going to do. That's not the goal. That's not the purpose of the study. The purpose is to give back and to be able to find a connection. If somebody were to be having changes in their cognition early versus late, and using driving as the modality.
And there is compensation for this, right? I mean,
there
this isn't just being a nice guy, right? And show
which I know
a nice girl.
Yeah, right?
She's relentless, I'm telling everybody.
Yes, there is compensation. So every visit, every time you come to meet with our research team, which is, again, once every 3 months for 3 years, you'll spend about 2 hours with us at each of these visits, and you will leave with a $25 gift card. Most of the time, most people are very happy with Publix gift cards. So that's usually what we provide our participants. So every visit you leave with a gift card. The last visit, if you stay through all of the visits through the end of the at the end of the 3 years, you walk away with a $50 gift card. So all in all, for your time over the course of the 3 years of this research project, you will collect $350 in gift cards.
And really, all you're doing here is helping find a connection, if one exists, between early warning signs that might come up in your driving habits that give you some early warning signs about the potential for dementia. How do people register for this? How do they go about doing
this? So we have a website. There's several different ways. We have a website, and I can give that website here on the air. And that's drivingproject.org/info. You can go right to the website. There's additional information that you'll find there, in addition to what I've shared with you all this evening. You can also contact me directly, and you can reach me at 954-691-3977.
Let's give the number again.
954-691-3977. And I'd be happy to answer questions. And there's a lot of moving parts to this project. This isn't something that's just, you know, it's simple, but you probably have a lot of questions, and I get a lot of questions from a lot of the people that I meet out in the community. So
speaking of meeting people in the community,
yeah.
I met you through the fact that you spoke at an event that my son-in-law was at.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just met you tonight for the first time, but we came to each other through that connection. You do a lot of public speaking. So in addition to people who might register for the program, there might be people who are listening who might like to have you as a speaker. So who is your perfect audience? Where would you like to speak? What's important for you?
So absolutely. I am available to come out to communities, businesses, wherever you're gathering, where we have that opportunity of our participant age group, 65 and older, that might be interested in joining our study. I provide information on the importance of maintaining your brain health as you age. So it can be as informal or formal as you like. But it's meant to provide information for people that are interested in the study, as well as learning about how to take care of their brain, as we were talking about the four pillars. So I'm happy to be out in the field raising awareness of this very, very important condition that we all are aging. I don't know anybody that's getting younger day by day, right? So being aware of, you know, what we can do. And again, you know, my personal passion here, you know, tell me what we can do and work on the prevention and the, you know, early detection is key.
So over 55 communities would be perfect.
That would be great.
Right. Or assisted living, independent, well, not assisted so much, but independent living.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Communities where people are driving. Right.
Right, organizations would be great. And from what area, Broward and Palm Beach County?
All throughout Broward and Palm Beach counties, correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I know that we spoke about this, but we didn't do it on the air. Currently, you're not doing this on the Jupiter campus of FAU, but if there was a big enough enrollment, that could change, correct?
That could change, yes. Right. We're open to off-site testing. It's real easy for us to go where we need to go as long as we have space. We are portable. So if we have that reach, or you know, somebody in our audience has a community and you'd like me to come out and speak. And, you know, sometimes, you know, driving to Boca or FAU and getting on 95 can create a lot of anxiety for folks.
Right.
So we want to make sure that if you are interested and you want to help us out and you want to help other people out by being part of this project, that we can work together to come to you if we have a large enough group in any certain geographical areas that are outside of the Boca or the Davie campuses.
But to all of you in Palm Beach County, because I do this all the time, it's only a half hour from pretty much anywhere in Palm Beach County to the FAU campus. So there's no reason for you not to go, especially if you come from New York, Philadelphia, Boston. A half hour took us around the block in those days, so it's not that far. If you're interested, you should give Kelly a call, and we're going to tell you how you can do that again in just a minute. Of course, if you tuned in late, we're talking about exciting research project at Florida Atlantic University that's trying to discover whether there is any correlation between driving habits and early warning signs of dementia. Kelly is the outreach coordinator. She is a doctoral nurse, a nurse doctor. She's a nurse researcher and family nurse practitioner, and she serves as the research study recruiter at Florida Atlantic University for this research project. If you have any questions for Kelly or for myself, you can reach us 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
Long before most of us ever heard of COVID-19, Silver Solutions understood that growing older wouldn't always be easy, but it could be safer and more rewarding. At Silver Solutions, we pride ourselves on creating physically safer homes for older adults, wherever home is. Whether you're senior-proofing your current home, downsizing to assisted living, or emptying a home after the loss of a loved one, Silver Solutions can help. To find out more about our services or to schedule a free virtual home assessment, call Silver Solutions today at 1-877-AGE-SAFE. That's 1-877-AGE-SAFE. Or visit us online at silversolutions.com. Our specialists are deeply experienced, compassionate, and follow rigorous CDC guidelines, including the use of full personal protective equipment for your family's safety. You can't control everything in life, but when it comes to making growing older safer and less stressful, you can count on Silver Solutions.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. ElderCare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with health care challenges.
As a patient advocate, ElderCare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make ElderCare 360 part of your team. ElderCare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg from Comfort Care Senior Services. Scott, you're very involved when it comes to the senior community.
That's right, Mike. We firmly believe that involvement in the community, giving back to the community, comes back to us in many, many ways. One of the ways it comes back to us is in our understanding of what's going on, what's new, what's trending. So we're very involved in the guardianship community, for example. We're involved in Alzheimer's community care, in the Alzheimer's Association, in Parkinson's. We run support groups. Basically, what I'm saying is that we want to be a part of the community in ways that we just don't receive benefit, but that we can give benefit as well. It's very important for us to understand the needs of the entire community and the needs of other people who are providing services. It is only through that that we can ensure that we provide the best care possible. Remember, Mike, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines the quality of their life. So remember, let our family take care of your family and call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or look us up on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Right here. Welcome back, everybody. Scott Greenberg, Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. We're so glad that you decided to spend some of your Monday evening with us. I'm here tonight with Kelly Jackson, who is a doctoral prepared nurse researcher at FAU, working on an exciting research project trying to discover correlation between dementia and early warning signs that might show up in our driving habits. I have so many questions that I'm not going to get to, but why is finding changes early important, and how do you separate some of the changes you identify and assign them to normal aging versus dementia?
Good question.
Help us understand that.
The importance is, if somebody were to start having some changes in their cognition, we want to find it early versus later. So if you've known anybody that has Alzheimer's, 10, 15 years before they have that diagnosis, the signs are there. But they can be very nonspecific, and we change every day. Can be a different day, right? So it's important to find, if somebody were to be going down that road, to find those changes early versus later. And that's the whole reason for the purpose of this particular study, to find changes early if they're occurring. And it doesn't necessarily mean that if there are some changes that's where you're going. Doesn't mean you're necessarily going down the Alzheimer's road. What it means is, hey, what's going on? Let's take a look and see what's going on with your cognition.
And back to your four pillars of brain health.
Yep.
Should you see some of these early warning signs, you and I would agree that you can slow the progression of the disease. It's not the end of the world, that you actually, by employing some of the very things that you talked
doing
about,
what you can
diet,
do.
Exercise, mm-hmm. brain health, all of those things. People zone out when we say those things, but those things matter.
They matter.
Particularly if you identify something early,
mm-hmm.
right?
Absolutely.
So, how long is this Is this project expected to go on for? I know 3 years is the commitment if we register.
If you register, yeah. Right.
So how long is this supposed to go on for, and how many people are you looking for?
So we have been the study has been going on for a couple years now. We're getting to almost having some of our very first and early participants finishing up.
Wow.
So we're coming up to that 3-year mark, and the recruitment is open, and we're going to continue enrolling participants. We'd like to get a few hundred more to sign up. We're actually in partnership with the University of Central Florida, which I don't think we mentioned yet on this show.
We did not.
So we do have a cohort that we are partnering with at UCF, and they are recruiting participants as well. Not as many as we are in South Florida. But one of the reasons we were selected for this particular grant from the National Institutes on Aging is because South Florida is so culturally diverse with the older adult population over 65. So,
this project is really a South Florida-based project at the moment. It's not going to, I mean, you're not part of a global study. This is right here.
This is right here in South Florida. Mm-hmm.
And this is not the only study at FAU. I know this is the only study you're interested in at FAU, but FAU has a lot of opportunity for people to get engaged in other activity.
We talked
about lifelong learning. I've talked about that on the show in mm-hmm. the past. But this project is specific to what you're doing. So tell us again how, if somebody's interested, they can find out more information, get involved, and register.
Absolutely. So you can visit our website at drivingproject.org/info for additional information. And if you want to join the study, you can meet the team. Like I said, this is a village, College of Nursing, College of Science with our neuropsychology division, and the College of Nursing. So it's a true interdisciplinary approach. Meet the team. Lots of people working on this project to really hopefully make a difference out there.
So you said that before the commitment is for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of those people that don't keep cars for 3 years. What if I sell my car?
No problem. We will just, at your own parking spot that you will have when you come visit us at either campus.
Yeah, we have to emphasize parking.
Very important on a college campus.
Particularly on the Boca campus, right? It's
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. We will just go ahead and switch out the equipment for you. And that's another, thanks for asking that question, because some of the other questions I get out in the field are, what do I have to do with the equipment? Nothing. We install it that very first visit. And if you get a new car, we'll take it out and put the equipment in your new vehicle.
And it won't damage the car. I mean, I can think all of the things that would be objections. It won't damage the car.
It won't damage the
car.
I'm
not on video, right? I'm not going to end up on Parking Wars or something.
All confidential data. We're not going to do anything with that data.
And the cameras, even the I think that would be anxiety producing for some
people. Yeah. And if that's the case, then this may not be the project for you. I mean, to be honest, the cameras are small. I have met with several of the participants, and they have said to me that after a week or so, they don't even know they're there. So, but I will say, if it's something that's a concern or something that's going to, kind of eat at you a little bit while those cameras are in the car, you may, there may be another research project for you to get involved with at FAU. So,
right. That's great. If you're just tuning in, and we've been talking with Dr. Kelly Jackson from FAU, who is spearheading the outreach for an exciting project identifying a correlation between dementia and driving, and whether there are any early indicators. If this is something that you're interested in, but you tuned in late and you're sorry you missed the beginning with all of the details about this, I have good news for you. You don't have to miss it forever, because up and running tomorrow around noontime, we will put it up on your favorite podcast platform. All you have to do is search OMG I'm Getting, and up it will pop. OMG I'm Getting on your favorite podcast platform. Of course, if podcasting isn't for you, it isn't for me, so I understand that. If it's not for you, you can get it on my website, palmbeach.comfortcare.com. Comfortcare, ComfortCare. Regular listeners know what you don't do. You don't put a T in there. New listeners, don't put a T in there. It's not Comfort Care. It's Come For Care. ComforCare. PalmBeach.comfortcare.com. Of course, there is no excuse or no reason you ever have to go back and do that, you know, unless you've been away or having out for dinner or something, because you can listen wherever you are. Download the iHeartRadio app to your phone. Set it to remind you at 6 o'clock every Monday. True Oldies in Palm Beach. Up We Will Pop. And, of course, if that isn't enough, we simulcast. You can listen True Oldies, FLA.com. True Oldies, FLA.com. Next week, a most fascinating subject. I'm going to be speaking to Dr. Joy Siegel. She's a PhD who I have known for many years, but I saw her speak recently about medical ethics and the challenges that confront the medical community that sometimes force very challenging decisions. For example, one ventilator, four people need it. Who gets it? These are really important conversations, and Dr. Siegel Joy, as I know her, Joy is an expert in this field. She's been doing a tremendous amount of work on this. It's a fascinating subject. It's a show you're not going to want to miss because there's an amazing amount of questions that you're going to have. So medical ethics next week with Dr. Joy Siegel. In 2 weeks, I'm going to be talking about hearing loss. I heard my guest, Dr. Lindsay Bride. Dr. Bride is driving all the way over from Tampa to be on the show. I was so impressed with her presentation about hearing loss that I couldn't wait to have her on the show, and she's making a special effort to be here. Hearing loss is not what we all think it is. Hearing aids are not what we all think they are. It's an amazing discussion. It will answer a tremendous amount of questions, and it will cure you of many misconceptions. So lots of great shows, including tonight's show, in the offing coming up. So I encourage you to listen, especially next week, medical ethics, 2 weeks, hearing loss, and hearing aids. So two great shows coming up. But in the few minutes I have left with my guest tonight, Kelly Jackson, Dr. Kelly Jackson. Kelly, we didn't really address the fact that there are things that look like dementia sometimes, but are normal aging. You know, in my presentations, I often talk about, you know, misplacing your car keys is not an early warning sign unless you right. find it in the freezer. That's a different story.
Every day.
Right. Every day. So in this study that we're talking about, one, have any early indications shown up? Maybe you don't know the answer to that. And two, how do you, or how is the program going to separate normal aging changes from dementia-related changes and then assuring the participants that they're healthy? You know, the worried well, I call them all the time.
So we're still very much early in the stages of collecting the data, and the analysis has not occurred to any degree at this point. So that's still ongoing. But you raise some good points. You know, how do you know the difference? And I think you look at those patterns, and you know your behaviors, your loved ones that see you frequently. And again, it's those non-specific changes that you may not be able to pick up on, where your driving habits, because you're driving every day, or you know you're going here, going there. That's something that might be more of a behavior with something that we can find that connection with, that's, if you will, that quantitative piece. That's the scientific side of me coming out here, right? You're looking at that data.
And so, there are people, I'm sorry, I interrupted. Go ahead.
No, does that help answer the question?
I think so.
Okay.
There are people who I think, you know, some of the objections that you might face sometimes, I don't want to know if I have dementia. I'm never going to want to know if I have dementia. I don't want anybody following me. Right. Maybe I'm already a little nervous. Make people feel, which I know you can do because this is well worth their effort, why this is so important for them to think about enrolling.
It's important to think about because it's going to help future generations. You're really being a part of something that's pretty big. And even though you may not want to know, it might be very beneficial for other people that want to know. So you can sign up, you can participate, come hang out with us once every 3 months and have some memory quizzes and memory tests done. And be a part of something big, be a part of something that could really make a big difference. Game changer, really. What this is we're looking at marrying the healthcare technology with healthcare in a device such as this sensor that can go in a car and be that early warning sign versus 10, 15 years later, now we have a diagnosis and it may be too late to do anything about it.
No, and I think when you recap your four pillars of health, and this gives people purpose, it gives them something to do, it challenges them, it gives them a place to commit to going to, and it's a wonderful project. So one more time, website, phone numbers, how do we go about
absolutely
getting in touch?
Okay, so the website, drivingproject.org/info. Or you can call me directly. I'd be happy to answer any questions or get you enrolled and signed up at 954-691-3977.
One more time.
I knew you were going to say that. 954-691-3977. I'd be happy to talk to you about any questions anyone has.
So we didn't ask, is it hard to sign up? I didn't ask that question.
It's not hard to sign up. Right. We will do everything that we need to do over the phone. We'll get some information from you and give you several different options of days and times that work with your schedule and get you signed up, give you a place to park your car, and we'll see you there.
Yeah. You want to say happy birthday to your dad one more time?
Happy birthday, Dad. Thanks for being part of the show.
Yeah. Driving is so important. Maintaining your skills is very important, not only for your health, but for the health and safety of those around you. We talked when Kelly was talking to her dad, wishing him happy birthday. That's in context, if you tuned in late, to the fact that one of the best birthdays he ever had is his 16th because he got his driver's license. I have two grandchildren that are 15 who are learning how to drive. Driving is so important. Safe driving is even more important. This research project at FAU is really something that is, it's so easy. It's not heavy lifting. You can do it. There's compensation involved. Call Kelly Jackson. Register if you can, or if you know somebody who can, get them to register. Participate.
Oh, and
do your part.
Thing, Scott, I forgot. Ahead. If you refer a friend, we do give a referral fee.
There you go.
So find a friend, and we'll give you a $25 gift card if you're in the
study. You can call a friend and get
study.
A gift card.
Yeah.
Right? That's your own $10,000, whatever that show was, $1 million. Anyway, join, register, call Kelly. This is, of course, Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Thank you so much for being here tonight. You're a terrific guest. I hope you all enjoy it. If you didn't, don't tell anybody. And if you do, come back next week. We're going to talk about medical ethics. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Stay safe. Stay well. We'll see you next week. Good night, all.